Let me say from the get-go, folks, every Sunday, I feel compelled to say this. I know you're praying people, but our world needs prayer.
Amen.
Continue to pray. I wish I could stand here and tell you folks it's going to get better, but the Bible says it's not. Stay prayed up. Stay in God's house. Read His Word. Pray daily. I promise you, His grace will surround you. And I believe with all my heart, and I say over and over again, the trumpet's in the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. May we be ready. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, nursery time. Nursery time. Miss Monica's got the nursery. You going to the nursery, Mark?
He likes spring hops.
Advice, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. In the book of Psalms. Now, before I get into this, just a little history. This is actually a psalm. Back in the Old Testament town, this would be like your hymnal that you have here. Keeping that in mind, I want you to look how the song is phrased and how David phrases this, as he has a desire to have God around him and has a desire to want to have a better relationship with God in spite of his faults. Everybody here got faults? Everybody here got sin? You do. But hopefully you have a desire to do better in life. Look what he says. In thee, O God, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness. In thee, O God, number one, do I take refuge. He's saying, you are my lifeline. Without you, I would be dead. I think a lot of us can say that today. Huh? Some of you have been healed. Some of you have seen people sick. Some of you have been sick. Some of you have been in harm's way. And you get on the other side of it. Understand, it's because God put you in refuge. In other words, he protected you at the time. You know, I say this all the time, and I believe this. Even if I don't have a close call in a particular week, you never know. Maybe Satan had plans for me to have a close call, but God just sort of cleared the way for that. Knocked that out of the way. He said, in thee do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Everybody. Every enemy. Satan and all his demons will try to do everything they can to put you down, hurt you, harm you, cause you to bring shame to the kingdom of God. Here's what he's saying. He said, Lord, don't ever let that happen. I do not want to bring shame to Jesus. I don't want to bring shame to the church. I don't want to bring shame to my family. Show me how to act. Be with me. Allow me to never be under temptation and to know. What else does he say? Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver here is also another word that we get forgive. Not only to deliver me, but forgive me. Everybody here need forgiveness? You need it now, don't you? That's right. We need it. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Righteousness is a neat word, but it doesn't mean perfection. Righteousness simply means if I'm in a right relationship with God, that makes me righteous. Does not make me perfect. Does not make me better than anyone else. It just means in my own personal walk, I'm in a right relationship with God. Now, how do you do that? How do you get in a right relationship with God? I say this all the time. Three things. Makes you in a right relationship with God. I said it in Sunday school class this morning. I'm going to say it again. Understand. What makes you right in the eyes of God? Number one, love His Word. The Bible. All kinds of ways to read it today. Computers, iPads, large print, small print, any kind of language that you want. It's there. Study God's Word. If you study God's word, it will put you in a right relationship with God. Number two, prayer. You need to do that. You need to have communication with God every day and then let Him communicate with you. That is the secret to the power of prayer. Don't do all the talking. Let God talk to you through your heart. I promise you, it's life-changing when you do that. Because I need godly advice every day. And I get it through His word, and I get it through communication with Him that the Bible calls prayer. And then number three, it's not a secret, but somehow or another it seems to be people, because I think this is Satan's way, and that's coming to God's house. People honestly believe that they don't have to go to church anymore. And they'll say this to me a lot. And I understand this. I can get on the internet. I can get on my iPad. I can get on TV and listen to any preacher that I want to listen to. Why? And I can do that in my camp. Now, man, that, you know, that sounds good, don't it? To stay in your pajamas and worship God through an iPad. Isn't that wonderful to do that? You don't have to comb your hair. You don't have to put makeup on. You don't have to put clothes on. I mean, there ain't nothing any better than worshiping God with no makeup on and curls in your hair and to sit there and listen to a preacher on the iPad. It don't get any better than that, does it? What do we say to this? If you've got the health and you can't come to church, I'm thankful for these ministers. There's people that watch us on the internet because maybe they can't get to church. I understand that ministry. But I promise you this, the day that I stay home from church to watch it on a computer, there'll come a time faster than what I want it to be that I'll have to stay home and watch it on a computer. Amen. If I got the legs to get up, if I got a wheelchair to get there, if I got a walker to get there, God's word says do not forsake the assembly of being with other godly people. It's strength to you, it's strength to the church, and that's how we survive in this world. When we get together and show the effort that we want to go to God's house and praise His name. That's how we stay righteous in the eyes of God. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And look what He says. Bow down thine ear unto me and deliver me speedily. See, this word deliver sort of all through this song here. Bow down thine ear to me. In other words, listen to me, O Lord. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, a house of defense to save me. And it almost sounds like David's in trouble. Well, David stayed in trouble a lot. Alright? And a lot of these psalms that he writes is because he's in trouble about something. Someone may be trying to hurt him. Someone may be talking bad about him. He could be sick. He can have a war that he's facing. So he says, listen to me, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Deliver me speedily. And really what deliver means here is listen to me closely. Listen, Lord, I got issues. I got problems. I need you to be the rock in my life. There's no better prayer that you can pray that. Because I promise you, the world you live in today, if you don't hang on to the rock, you will sink. I don't know how to play or put it. Because Satan will put you in quicksand before you even know it. I tell you something else, it's hard to walk in sand too, because then you trip. Then you fall. You need to be on steady ground. You need to be on the rock. You need to be on the rock of ages. You need to understand. When he says here, be my strong rock. Let me tell you something about God. God's not a pebble. He's not a pebble. It's sort of like a life vest. Now, someone that's muscular like me, I'm just saying, all right? They say muscle floats. That's a lie. I can't float with a neck. All right? But I tell you what, if I'm sinking, we had Addie just yesterday. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law have a nice pool. We put these little wing things on her so she can float. They tried putting them on me. And I sunk, Kenny. You know why? Because it wouldn't, you know, I don't need a pebble to hold me up. I need a boat to hold me up. So no matter what's going on, this is not a pebble. This is a rock big enough to hold you up. It's big enough that no matter what Satan comes at you with, you're going to see the rock first. He's going to hit the rock first. And that's what the Lord is. That's what he's saying. Deliver me, because you're the big rock. You're the big rock. A house of defense to save me. It's hard to be on the defensive all the time. It really is. Because Satan's slick. He's good. And just as soon as you let your guard down a little bit, you get off the rock a little bit, here he comes. You get on the sand just a little bit, next thing you know, you trip. This is what reading God's Word and studying God's Word, praying and going to God's house, it means you're wrapped around the biggest rock it can be. Let the wind come, let the storms come, let anything come. Nothing's going to move the rock. If you hang on to the rock, nothing's going to move you. The rock is the greatest defense that you've got, and the rock's called Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause in your house. Here again. Thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now, talking about some advice here. This is my rock, my fortress. Therefore, by thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Just because I know that Jesus is the rock, I got to go to the rock. I got to know where the rock is. Because if I get away from the rock a little bit and then the storm comes, I got to be able to find the rock. Don't get so far away from the rock that you can't get to it fast when the storm comes. This is what he's saying here. He says, lead me. Guide me. Because believe me, there's nobody here perfect. Everybody's going to let go of the rock at some point in time. You may get comfortable in your life. You got what you need. Everything's going along well. Satan loves to set us up. Get us to the point where, you know, our needs are being met. I got a little bit of money. Everybody's getting along right now. You know, the bills are being paid. The car's starting okay. The boss ain't acting nuts. You know, the wife's acting okay. The husband's acting okay. The kids are even good a little bit. You know, now that don't happen much, but sometimes it happens. And when it does, you let your guard down and you step away from the rock. And that's what Satan loves. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, you can see the storm coming before the storm hits. Pay attention. You see the storm coming. You get a phone call. You read an email. You see somebody. You talk to somebody. You see the storm coming. Get to the rock. Get to the rock. Get to the rock. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, number four, let's look at this. Pluck me out of the net that they have made for me. Privilege, which means they're trying to sneak up on it. All right? For thou art my stronghold. Now, let me give you the picture of this. I don't know how many of you are fishermen. I was fishing with my cousin years ago in Florida. When you fish in Florida, it's a little different than fishing up here. You don't never know what you're going to catch in Florida. Up here, we got a pretty good idea. You catch something up here, weighs 5 pounds. In Kentucky, you got a hold of something. In Florida, they use stuff that weighs 5 pounds for bait. That ought to tell you what they're going after, okay? Now, my cousin, I was out in his boat in inland water. We went out on the ocean. Water. And I mean, and down there they use shrimp for bait. Up here it must be a pretty good bait because we eat a lot of it up here too. But they use it down there. And I mean, all of a sudden, my cousin's reel just takes off, winding, grabs it, He fights this fish. End up being about a 25-pound fish. He gets it up to the boat after fighting for an hour. We can't get it in the boat. You know why? Because he left the net at home. You got a 3 or 4 pound fish, you get that real easy. You get a 25, 30 pound because he's afraid he's going, because the rod he was fishing with cost $200. Didn't want to break the rod. Gets it right up to the boat. He says, how are we going to get it in the boat? He said, first of all, he said, get the net. I said, where's the net? He said, what do you mean? I said, I don't see no net. He said, I left it at home. Off that fish for an hour. Now, the next time we went out, we had the net with us. This time we caught a big fish again. But we got to the boat, we put it in the net. Why did we put the fish in the net? Because it's trapped once it gets in the net. Whole lot easier to get in the boat. We had to let the first fish go. Well, Satan, according to this, pluck me out of the net. In other words, keep me out of the trap. Because if I get in the net of Satan, it's hard to get out. Once that fish gets in that net, unless there's a hole in the net, you're going to get the fish. It ain't going nowhere at that point in time because it's in the net. Now, women, y'all understand that, don't you? You understand that, women? Men won't understand that, but you'll understand that, won't you? That's what that means. Satan wants to get you in the net. Get you all tangled up in sin and issues of life. The only way to get out of the net is when Jesus comes along and cuts it. I went fishing with my dad one time. We had a net. He forgot. It had a hole in it. We went to get the fish. It fell right through the net because there was a hole in it. The fish looked at us, laughed at us, and swam right off. So if you got a hole in your net, that's what I pray for. I say, Lord, put a hole in Satan's net. Because he's coming after me and trying to trap me. And every time, I understand, when he goes to trap me, the only way I get out is because Jesus has a way of cutting the net. Satan hates that. He hates it because he thinks he's got you. Jesus comes along and cuts the net. We call it salvation. We call it being saved. We call it forgiveness. When Jesus lets us out of the net. You understand the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I think you may remember that phrase from somewhere, don't you? The last thing that Jesus said on the cross before he left. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O God. Thou, God, of truth. There is no place that you can be better off than in the hands of Jesus. You be on the rock. Stay away from the net. Stay away from everything that Satan tries to trap you with. And understand, if Satan gets you trapped, you pray for the deliverer, and the deliverer will come and get you out and bring you back to the rock. Don't get too far away from the rock. You with me? You understand the song? You understand what David's trying to say? When he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit, what he's saying is, I'm hanging on to the rock. From now on, I'm on the rock. When people give testimonies of being away from the rock, and life seems to beat them down, and they say, you know, I go back to the rock, doesn't mean that life still didn't try to beat me down. But I'm hanging on to everything that there is, that's everything to me. And that is the rock. Because the rock has redeemed me. And God, you are the God of truth. You get the song? You get the praise of that? You understand what it's about? That's how we are to be. Hang on to the rock. I don't care what advice people give you in life. If you want to give out some advice, you say, hang on to the rock. And we call the rock Jesus. Because it's stable. It's there. It will not be moved. No matter how big the wave. No matter how big the storm, no matter what happens in life, you hang on to the rock. That is your salvation. Give Jesus a hand. Well, head is bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for being our rock. I pray that every person and every family here will hang on to this rock. For Father, it's our salvation, it's our grace, it's our protection. Thank you, Father, for being the rock of ages in our life. If you're here today and you don't know anything about the rock, you've never hung on to the rock, you've never been saved, all you've got to do is come at a moment when we have this invitation and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. When you do that, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And at that point in time, you are part of the rock. And Jesus is in your life. Sometimes when you get away from the rock for whatever reasons in life, maybe it's time to come to this altar. This altar like represents the rock that you're coming home to. If there's something in your heart you're troubled about, something you need to pray about, maybe it's someone you need to pray for, or maybe it's yourself, come to the rock, come to this altar. Father, we're thankful for everything that you do in life. To those who have watched us by the internet today, Father, may they go to the rock. Wherever that rock may be, may they go to their church. May they study their Bible. May they pray to you daily as we go to the rock. We thank you, Father, for all that you do. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?